Do not be afraid. There is nothing secret that will not be made known. It's both comforting and frightening, isn't it, a little bit? Waiting for justice to be done in the world, but we want mercy for ourselves. I think of our Lord, I like to think that as I was praying over this reading in the scripture class we had, I had a lot of chance to think about these words. I think our Lord would tell us, what he said to me was, you know, Gary, this world is afraid of the wrong things. We fear. There are so many things that one can fear in our personal lives and in the world, most of which we can't do anything about. But how many fear offending God, which is the one thing we should fear? This is something I heard many years ago. It stayed with me all these years. And I don't know how many of you have ever read or heard of Prevention Magazine, but Dick Cavett, who was a talk show host in the 60s and 70s, not something I watched, but he was asked once what his most memorable program was. And he said, well, it was the one that never got on the air. He was interviewing Robert Rodale Sr. I was told I'm not pronouncing this gentleman's name right, but Robert Rodale Sr., who was the founder of Prevention Magazine. I'm sure some of you have heard of him. He probably, more than any other person, got people interested in healthy living at a time when that was not on people's radar screens. And so Dick was asking Mr. Rodale what led him to found Prevention Magazine. And he said, well, and I got this magazine for many years myself. And he said, well, it started when I was a child, and my father died of a heart attack at the age of 49. Reminds us of, Tim Russett, a little bit. Tim was a decade older than this, but it was a shocking death. And so Mr. Rodale said he began to dedicate his life toward looking at what did my father do that he shouldn't have done? What should he have done that he didn't do? What can I do so that maybe I can avoid this fate of dying of a heart attack at that age? If it's genetic, you know. And the fruits of this investigation, it was so fruitful in his life in many ways, he began to publish it. Became, you know, the magazine flowed out of this interest that began with his father's death and probably saved many lives as a result of that. So you may be wondering why it didn't get on the air. It's because Mr. Rodale had a heart attack on the program. They went to a commercial break. Somebody at the 5:30 Mass was actually watching this program when this happened, so I got a little update on this story that I didn't know about. Part of it was on the air. But they went to a commercial break because they didn't know what was happening to him. And he died that day at the age of 49, the same age as his father, very publicly. That story stayed with me now for a couple of decades. And, of course, I still try to eat healthy. But there are limits to our fears, aren't there? In the end, nothing we can do can save us from that final end. So we want to keep things in proportion. We're so afraid to not eat the right things. But we're never afraid of offending God. And that's our Lord's point. What are some of the fears we've had in the last few years? Well, some are very serious, you know, terrorism and floods in the Midwest. Lord knows there have been some strange weather problems and all sorts of things, wars. But there's also some kind of odd things, like if you remember, there was a scare about computers by batteries catching on fire. Do you know anybody whose computer battery caught on fire? Well, my computer caught on fire, but I'm the only one I know of that. You may remember that story. I just backed it up the day before. God is good, you know. But it did. It caught on fire right here in the office, and boy, what a smell. But why worry? Could I have done anything other than backing up my data and forget it, you know? Last year, what were we worried about? Spinach. Remember that? I'm a big fan of bagged spinach. Couldn't find it anywhere for about a month. Do you know anybody that got sick from spinach? Anybody? No. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. It's just that we're out of proportion here. And what's everybody stopped buying for the right at the moment? Tomatoes. I was having dinner the night that story broke. I was having a salad. I was reading that story. I had a tomato in my mouth when I was reading it. Really? I'm going, okay, Gary, let's take the risk and swallow. I did. I ate the whole thing, you know, just like. I think there was a boom in home tomato plants down at the garden store. And, you know, this is ridiculous. And we're not afraid of offending God. We think no matter what happens, he's just going to say, oh, come on in. You know, we don't have to worry about him. We're only going to live with him forever. Hello, you know. So our world is all goofed up. And one of the interesting things about this reading is that it's got two things in it. We learned a lot in our Bible class. I did also. No one person can pull everything out of the scriptures. We need each other to help us see these things. And it is that on the one hand, our Lord tells us to fear not. He says, every hair on your head has been counted. With some of you, it's easier for him to count than others, of course. I told somebody to be a prop in the front row. There's another prop in the third row over there. I'm sorry, it's a cheap shot for somebody who's got all his hair at my age. But my best asset, you know. Every hair has been counted. Can you imagine? He says, not a bird falls from the sky that your father doesn't know about it. That doesn't mean falling in death. It means every time a bird hops up and down, that's what that means. Did you know that? Can you imagine? And you think God doesn't know what's going on in your life. He says, why are you afraid? Don't worry about people and things that can kill your body. You see, you are like a Christmas present. You know, one day we're going to have bodies that last forever, but these ones are going to come off. Like wrapping paper. Some people are real beautiful on the outside, but don't look inside the package, because it's pretty ugly. And sometimes that's us. But you know, at the moment of death, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be unwrapped, and everyone's going to see what's inside that package, whether you like it or not. There is nothing secret that is not going to be revealed except what we have repented of. In order to repent, we have to have a fear of God a little bit. So God says on the one hand, fear not. On the other hand, he says, however, if you are going to fear something, let me tell you what to fear. Fear him. Fear the one who can throw both body and soul into hell. Who is that one? Well, it's God, but what we should fear is that sin which could throw us into hell. Do I have something that I'm not, that I'm not repenting of? In Tillamook, you know, the wind blowing right. You know, fear the one that can send me to hell. A lot of people don't believe hell exists. I'm going to talk just a little bit about hell. I did a whole hour on heaven, hell, and purgatory, and it's an interesting subject. It really is. But hell is very, very real. If you don't believe in hell, you don't believe in the Bible. And I'll tell you, hell was created by and for the devil and his angels. Why is this? The angels had a test before they were allowed to remain in heaven, just as we are now. Our life is that test that will determine our future and where, what place we will have in heaven, hopefully. A third of them, more or less, from what we can gather, rebelled against God, lost their place in heaven, chose to be somewhere besides God. They wanted God out of their lives. That is called hell. Hell is a place where God is not there. To whatever extent that's possible for a created being, God simply says, you may have what you wish. You will not be happy. The Lord uses the analogy in today's scripture of light and darkness. God is all light. Sin is an absence of light. You see, sin and hell is not a thing so much as it's an absence of something. Hell is the absence of God. If God is totally excluded from your life, you're already in hell. You see what I mean? Sin needs good in order to function, because sin is a parasite. Hell is a place where those who chose to go there, and they choose to go there, have no one on which to inflict their sin. And so it turns inward and becomes hatred and ugliness. So a soul, when it dies, it is worried so much about the wrapping paper, right? And then the wrapping paper comes off suddenly, like Tim Russert, for example. Everybody thought about him last week. He was assigned to all of us in this country. That's the way I took it. And a good Catholic, it was a good thing in a way for us. We come before the presence of God. God has been trying to shine a light into this soul, let's say. When I sin, my front room window has shutters. And when the light comes in full force in the afternoon, I tilt the shutters so you can't see out very well. You know what I mean? When you sin, you're tilting the shutters so there's more and more shade within you. You don't want the light. If you're going to be sinning, you certainly don't want to be on television, do you? And so we start to learn to live in the darkness. We begin to live in a cave. We're living in a movie theater. You know what happens when you come out of a dark theater into the bright light? I know it doesn't happen in Oregon very often, but think back to last summer. And, you turn away from the light at first until your eyes get used to it. So this soul, which has lived in sin, unrepented sin, mark that, it suddenly comes into heaven. Here is God, who has loved this soul. It has counted every hair on the head of this soul. It has tried in every way, short of parting the heavens, to have that soul love him, to love God. Died for that soul, loved that soul. The soul, however, had suffered. It had hated God. It had sinned against God. It did not want God. And when the light shines on this type of a soul, it would begin to pull back. God says to the soul, I want to purify you. I want you to come live with me. And he will if we are open to it. But if not, if the soul does not trust God because it's lived, it's spent its whole life living in habitual serious sin, it's going to pull back from God's light because it doesn't want to see the ugliness that was inside the package. It doesn't want anyone to see it. Nor does it want God to come in and fix it. And it pulls back and it pulls back. That's purgatory. It's a very scriptural place, but that's an image of purgatory. And some souls go so far back, they say, I don't want God anymore. And they fall right into the petition book. They make up their minds to never come out. They want no more of God. And that's hell. Our Lord says, if you want to fear something, fear offending me, because those choices, when they add up, may lead to a final choice that we will make against God. That's the real, that's sort of the parting of the eyes so that we can see clearly what's going on in this world. Our world's so full of baloney, worrying about such ridiculous things. Some things are very frightening in this world, don't get me wrong. Just cancer is one thing. A good friend of mine is just diagnosed with cancer, and some people here have cancer, and it's very frightening. But our Lord tells us, how can you be afraid when I've counted every hair on your head? How can you be afraid? And how can you not be afraid of offending me, who loves you so much? So this week, let us ask God to open our eyes to the choices that we make, that more and more our choices will be for God. If they have not been for God, that we will continue to repent each day. Because at the end of our lives, God will give us exactly what we want.